hearing from security services in Kyrgyzstan. They are saying that the likely suspect of that bombing is a Kyrgyzstan-born Russian citizen. They have named him as Akbarzon Zhaliov. He was born in the city of Osh in 1995. No other details are given by the Kyrgyzstan Security Service, but they are saying that this man is the likely suspect in that metro bombing in St. Petersburg. Yesterday, it happened at around 20 past two in the afternoon.
The president has made the decision to donate his first quarter salary in total to a government entity, and he has chosen this quarter to donate it to the National Park Service. The Park Service has cared for our park since 1916. So it is my pleasure on behalf of the President of the United States to present a check for $78,333.
When it comes to Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, the big picture has been the same for the past years. More settlers, more construction. But data from Israel Statistics Bureau shows that the rate of migration into the settlement is today a third of what it was a decade ago. In other words, the increase in population is due to natural growth.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Opening Bell for this Tuesday. It's April 4th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad to have you along with us for another business day, another edition of our program coming up a little bit later on. We'll talk a little bit about today's Equal Pay Day. It was originated by the National Committee on Equal Pay in 1996, a public awareness day. We'll be talking with one of the organizers of an event focusing on Equal Pay Day. Just a little bit, we'll bring in John Apollo for a discussion about college affordability and college saving. But right now, first, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk numbers looking weak for open on Wall Street later this morning, off about 49 points now. S&P futures off about 7. NASDAQ futures are off about 17. Crude oil is trading lower this morning as well at 50.21 a barrel. In Europe, the markets also, as my computer screen here refreshes a little bit, the markets in Europe are just a little bit higher this morning. Well, mixed, actually. The FTSE is higher. Everything else is pretty much lower. The DAX and the CAC are off by about 10 points each. Asian markets generally mixed as well. In Asia, stocks mostly lower after a disappointing U.S. car sales data contributed to a bleak day yesterday on Wall Street. Investors cautiously awaiting President Trump's meeting with the Chinese president later this week. If you missed it yesterday, automakers including Ford and General Motors reported disappointing sales for March in a sign that does not bode well for U.S. consumer spending as the year moves along. Auto sales fell for a third straight month by 1.6% to just over 1.5 million vehicles as passenger cars dropped. Analysts had expected a small increase. Wall Street yesterday stocks posted started the second quarter with a thud after that auto report, looking like we're headed there today. The dollar slipped against the yen and was steady against the euro. Some news this morning about Chicago-based Boeing. Boeing says it has signed a $3 billion deal with Iran's Aceman Airlines for 30 Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. The company made the announcement early this morning, saying the deal includes purchase rights for an additional 30 737 MAX aircraft. Comes on top of a December deal by Iran Air, the country's flag carrier, for $16.6 billion with Boeing for 80 passenger planes. Now is the time. Some college kids are probably getting notices from which colleges accepted them, maybe even some scholarship and financial aid offerings as well. And it's a time when many people are also thinking about the college year ahead. And we thought we would talk a little bit about that with one of the experts in this field, John Apollo, who is in Chicago with some education leaders talking about this. And we are happy to welcome him in on the Opening Bell today. John, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Steve, great to be with you.
It's good to see you in person. I know we had you on the phone recently, but thanks for connecting and coming in and seeing us this morning.
Yeah, it's great to have a chance to meet you and talk about planning and paying for college.
Well, this is a big time of the year, isn't it, for college kids? Or are we getting a little bit late in the year where they're getting these college offers and a lot of kids and families are thinking, how are we going to pay for this fall?
Stress time. That's exactly right. May 1, the the tuition deposits are due. And so they're trying to figure this out. How are they going to afford this college? And I'm hopeful that they're not just looking at the academic and the social fit, but they are thinking about how they're going to afford it and what the potential outcome of that college degree is going to be.
And what are most families choosing? I mean, hopefully kids have been saving up and families have been saving up, but is that generally what happens, or are kids going to be going into debt?
Well, a little of all of that. You know, it used to be that families would think about how much can they afford based on what their savings, or how much could they borrow. And there's really a shift now, Stephen, I think since the financial crisis that's happened, that we're starting to see families talk about how are they going to finance that education. So it's how much have they saved, how much scholarship money might they get, how much aid did the school itself come up with, is there some current income that they can use to help defray some of those costs, or there are other gifts out there. And that's how they're thinking about paying for college.
I actually heard the other day that as kids get all of these applications, and I was just thankful to be accepted to college. I remember that. And I know that some of the others on our staff were the same way. But kids that get multiple offers for college can actually negotiate their price?
They can go back to the financial aid office. But when they do that, it's a slippery slope. So you can't really go and play the Donald Trump art of the deal when you're a college student trying to get into a school. But what you can say is, look, I really want to go to your school. It's the school of my dreams. Here's what someone else has offered. Is there a way that you can reconsider your financial aid package? And schools will do that.
So tell us a little bit about your company, what you do, and how you help kids.
You know, my background is that I spent my career basically trying to help families plan and pay for college. And then the rubber met the road for me when my 23 and 21-year-old daughters started to go to college. And I felt the same anxiety that everybody else felt. And I thought I was a professional. So I said, you know, we really need to do something about this. So we formed Invite Education to provide, we're now calling it an ecosystem. We have a YouTube channel at Invite Education. We have a blog. And importantly, we have guidance in the form of a software program that folks can use to help every step of the way. So from the time the kid's born, and I think that's really when families should start thinking about how the college experience is going to go, because they can start saving. It'll be meaningful then. So start saving, and then we walk them through the process right to this date when they can make their decision about what school is right for that child.
The goal there is to sort of tamp down some of that tension a bit and provide answers to questions.
Well, and your point is exactly right. There needs to be this plain English guide to remove all the emotion. When you really cut to the chase, there are only a few discrete things that need to be done to get the kid to college. It's the emotion and the idea of keeping up with the Joneses and the dream school. And so we like to say to people, just take a deep breath and step back a little bit. And, you know, it'll become more apparent with the way this process should work out.
John, hang on with us. We're going to take a break. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation this morning with John Hupalo, CEO and founder of Invite Education, a nationally recognized expert in education finance. You can follow along at inviteeducation.com as well.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks began the second quarter with a thud after carmakers reported disappointing sales in March. The S&P 500 was down by 18 points at midday, but recovered some losses before the close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 13 points to finish at 20,650. The NASDAQ Composite shed 17. Speaking of carmakers, Tesla has surpassed Ford in market value for the first time ever. Analysts say the electric automaker offers investors something that traditional car companies can't: unlimited growth potential. It's not your imagination. You are paying more to see the doctor. A new study finds that per capita spending on private health care in the U.S. is more than $4,500 a year, five times higher than Sweden and Canada. And the face of Cherry Coke in China is billionaire investor Warren Buffett, whose likeness is featured on Chinese cans of the soft drink. The 86-year-old is helping to launch Cherry Coke in China. He says the product has helped him to stay youthful. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 522. We're talking about college affordability and college saving this morning. John Hupalo's with the founder and CEO of Invite Education. He's also a nationally recognized expert in education finance. John, we're talking a little bit about how kids can maybe sort of negotiate if they're getting financial aid, if there are multiple colleges offering them free tuition. For those of the kids who are out there paying for it, families who are saving for it, that's the big hard part of this, isn't it? Because we're not really saving people.
That's right. And in our book, Plan and Financial Families College Dreams, we have a chart there that says if you wait a year, here's how much more you're going to have to contribute. And you're exactly right that, you know, for the finance people in the world, the compounding, the rule of 70, it works. You can double your savings over a period of time, but you really need to start early, because although when you have that baby and you're changing diapers, it's hard to think about them going to college, 18 years goes in the snap of a finger, and all of a sudden you're right there and you say, wow, I wish 5 years ago I started saving.
Yeah. Unless you have twins. My little brother had twins, and he immediately, as he changes those diapers, thinks about that every day.
Good for him.
But, you know, if somebody is going to do that, what is your advice? I know there are a lot of different programs out there that help parents save starting when kids are really young, but some of those have been criticized. They're not all the same. What would be your advice?
Yeah, that's right, Steve. There are really two, I'll say two flavors. There are some of the federal programs. For instance, the Coverdell Savings Program for families making under $110,000 a year. It's a great way to start saving. You can find those at banks or at credit unions. Open those accounts. And then here in Illinois, you're so fortunate. There are two programs, the Bright Start and the Bright Directions 529 College Savings Programs, which are really terrific. So there are very minimal requirements for opening those accounts. They're easy deposits. And then there's also another opportunity called the College Illinois, which is a prepaid program. So your brother, for instance, he could go on and say, you know what, I think that I want my child to go to state school, and I'm going to buy a quarter's worth or a half a year's worth of tuition today at today's prices. And then when that child goes to school, they're already covered. So they can have a little bit, maybe something in a 529 savings program, maybe in a prepaid, and make that combination. My point before, think about how you're going to finance that education.
Some of those programs, too, are before taxes, aren't they? You get a little bit of tax break.
That's right. And there are some also in Illinois, you have a $10,000 per year per parent tax deduction for a state tax benefit for some of those programs. So, you know, clearly the state's done a great job of standing up those programs to try and help families in Illinois save a little bit better, make it easier for them.
And some of those programs, too, have sort of opened up to allow grandparents and family members to give money to those, put some money aside in those programs rather than handing somebody a check for their birthday.
Precisely right. And about 40% of grandparents right now are contributing to a 529 program for their children. And I'll tell you, Steve, there's another really great thing happening here. You can go to Toys R Us or Babies R Us and find this card called the Gift of College. And it's just like, you know, an Outback State card, but there it is, Gift of College. So I give that child $25. The parent can deposit that in any 529 in the country. And if I want to give the kid, you know, an extra five on the side for fun, that's great. But I've also helped them save for college.
People have to understand all of these concepts. And April is Financial Literacy Month. What does financial literacy mean?
That's the $64,000 question, Steve. The reason I'm in town, actually, there's a whole conference right here from the Institute of Financial Literacy, and that's what we're talking about over this three-day period. You know, what is that? What does it mean to you? And it means something different for everybody. But what I think families should take away is that their children are picking up their financial literacy habits from the time the child's 2 or 3 or 4 years old. They see how you're spending. Talk to them about spending. Hand them money. Let them know what it is. And I think your point is really important, because we've done a miserable job, in my view, of actually educating our kids. The colleges now are starting to pick up in some of their financial wellness programs. They go to school and they say, you know what, you've paid a lot of money to come here. You may have taken on some debt. Here's what you need to know about that. So I think on both ends right now, we're getting some real serious improvement in that area.
Here in Illinois, we are still in this budget crisis that's ongoing now for a couple of years. A couple of the big state schools in the news in the last week and last days talking about how they're cutting $30 and $20 million from their budgets. Thankfully, though, they're trying to hold the line on tuition. That immediately doesn't hurt kids, but it's eventually gonna start hurting kids, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. There's no question. You know, when there are limited resources available, the school is going to find themselves in a situation where they're going to just have to start cutting programs, or, you know, beginning to rationalize majors. You know, they'll start to look at some of those departments and say, you know, we really only have three professors here, but there's a school just 50 miles away from here, and we're just going to leave that market, if you look at it that way, to that particular school. So you hear those numbers, and it's really, you know, it's sad in a lot of ways, but the budget reality and the reality that the students have been paying these increases year over year for 20 or 30 years now has pushed the price of tuition up so high that it's becoming out of reach. So I think there's some economic rationalization for these programs that are going to happen. And although you don't like to see it at the local school, the reality is it's going to have to happen. And in the long run, it's probably better for everyone.
As the price of school goes up, during the last election cycle, there was a lot of talk about having free college, that should be a benefit for people. Is that ever going to happen?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, we saw that, you know, Bernie Sanders lit that fire and, you know, Hillary Clinton, all just picked up and said this is a really great idea. Governor Cuomo in New York has picked it up, and he says if you're making less than $150,000 a year, they're going to have a free tuition program in place there. Frankly, I don't think tuition should be free. And the reason for that is when you give something to somebody for free, they don't ascribe value to it. And I'm really concerned that the dropout rate is just going to go through the roof if we make it easy for somebody to just show up and say, I'm here because it's free. Well, you know, they need to have some skin in the game. So I think minimal amounts of tuition are really important to make sure that the student's properly motivated. We know that 24% of those who don't complete their degree, don't complete college, go on and default on their loans. So that's really a bad dynamic.
You bring up the loans again. That is another point that there seems that we have a story after story of kids who say they have so much student loan debt that it's, you know, impacting the general economy of the country in a way. So there is a problem there. Do you think we're giving that as much attention as it deserves?
No, I think we do need to elevate it, frankly. The good news is, though, that the trend lines are actually trending down, that students are taking less debt in the last few years than they have before. But, you know, I read the paper like you do, and when you read about an art history major with $100,000 in debt and a $30,000 a year job, that's a real problem. So I think, though, that families have real control over that. We talked about at the very beginning, you know, what's an affordable school? When you're looking at it today, the metrics that we were talking about of how much gift aid you have and all the rest of it, it's real. And I think if families start to realize that they're not going to escape the student loan debt and they shouldn't take as much, they certainly shouldn't imperil their retirement to send their child to college, it's going to rationalize.
John, you always have a calming sense about you with regard to some of these matters. Thanks for being here on the Opening Bell and sharing your expertise with
us. Steve, thanks. Great to be with you again.
John Hupalo is CEO and founder of Invite Education, a nationally recognized expert in education finance. He's also the author of Plan and Finance, Your Family's College Dreams. You can learn more at inviteeducation.com and follow along on Twitter at Invite Education.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 540. Glad to have you along. It is Equal Pay Day, a date that symbolizes how far into the year women must work to earn what men earned in the previous year. It began in 1996 as a public awareness event to illustrate the gap between men's and women's wages by the National Committee on Pay Equity. Lots of events happening across the country, one of them right here in Chicago. Let's bring in Gina Anderson-Cohen. She's a founder of Sweet Life, or Sweat Life, I guess is how we would describe this. She's with us this morning. It's a fitness site. Gina, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And glad to have you here. This is a day that I'm sure that is one of probably anger for you and for other women. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I think the existence of the day is rather sad. Equal Pay Day actually moves each year, which is great. That means it moves a little closer to January 1st. So the day is representative of the time into the next year it takes for women to catch up to men's salary from the previous year. So this year it's April 4th, which is great. Hopefully someday soon it will be January 1st. But today it's a great day to celebrate how far women have come as well. So yes, we can get mad and we can come together, but let's celebrate achievement too.
Yeah, and let's talk about how fast or how far or how slow it's moving. Tell us about the progress that has been made in this area.
Well, there's been a lot of progress made. A great number of bills were recently introduced by states across the country to close the gender pay gap. And there are varying statistics for how far that has actually moved and how far the needle has moved. Right now, the common belief is that women's pay is 78% of men's pay, which is not as far as we'd love to come, but the great note is that there is progress and that legislators are starting to talk about what it will take to close the pay gap, hopefully in my lifetime.
Yeah, it is concerning, though, to see the people who will deal with this sitting around a table talking about it. A lot of them are men. sort of making decisions for women. Is that concerning, the political aspect of this?
Absolutely. I think women need to obviously take a seat at the table. That's why leanin.org is so involved in this day. Women need to have conversations around these issues. That's why sweatlife.com, the company that I founded, is hosting an event today here in Chicago around Equal Pay Day with Luna as the sponsor. It's called Sweat to Inspire. So it uses fitness really as the catalyst to have this conversation, to trick people, honestly, to get into a room. So we'll have two great speakers who will share their stories, both of inequality and of success. Sarah Spain of ESPN will talk today about sort of what she's overcome as well as what she's achieved. And we'll also talk to Sarah Ames, who's a partner at a large law firm here in Chicago, who also did 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days. So we'll hear those sort of stories from women who have done so much. And what I want to do through this event is bring women together to be inspired by each other, to sort of congratulate each other, lift each other up, and bond and form community around the idea of helping each other succeed.
And also, it's sort of like form more grassroots efforts to combat this. Is that, do more people need to get involved? I mean, from year election cycle to election cycle, it seems like apathy is growing even stronger and stronger. If people are concerned about this, they really need to get involved, don't they?
Absolutely. And there are many organizations across the city of Chicago. I really believe action is taken on the city and local level. The more you can actually see people, the more you can actually interact with people, the more of an impact you'll make. When we talk about things on such a global level, it can feel difficult to combat big problems. But when you take action in your local community by doing something like just getting together or talking or volunteering or mentoring young women, it can feel easier to chip away at a big problem.
Do you think that the issue of equal pay is going to have to be one that's decided by law instead of something that corporations and companies do on their own? And the example I'll throw out is Iceland, which now requires this by law, and they even check to make sure that it's happening, equal pay for men and women. Is that something that maybe we should experiment with here?
That's a tough question, and I think the answer is hard. It's hard to say yes, and it's hard to say no, because I think that there are a lot of factors involved. I think women don't feel confident in negotiating and often start their careers with a lower salary than men, and that's a setback for the duration of their career. At the same time, women are also sometimes discounted for the fact that they may have a family one day, and sometimes it's believed by both women and men that women may eventually leave the workforce. So I think legislative action is important, but I also think it's important for women, especially those who have learned skills like negotiating and who have learned skills like the important art of doing business to mentor young women. And it's also important for other young women to ask questions about pay and about how they should go about getting the pay that they deserve and doing their research and starting conversations early. Finding the right mentor is important, but I also think it's important for women to start asking each other the question, how can we help each other?
We've talked about this mentor idea many times here on The Opening Bell, and mm-hmm. It's the question always comes back to, how does somebody find a mentor, or is it the mentor finds you? What are your thoughts on that?
I've heard a really wise thing, and that's that you never gather a network when you need one. You gather a network over time, and when you need it, it's there. And sometimes your mentors are tiny pieces of people within your network. So I think it's important for people who are looking for a mentor who even need to advance their career to have conversations with a lot of people. Rather than seeking a mentor, seek to help others, seek to have conversations. Eventually, you will always learn something from people along the way. And I think rather than seeking one mentor, it's important to seek a network. That way, eventually, throughout your career, you can help others and gain help from that network. That being said, in a corporate career or any career, really, it's important to have someone to champion you. But that never happens by asking the question, will you be my mentor? That feels like an unnatural thing. So having those coffees, having those conversations, and being mutually beneficial to one another, I think that over time and naturally will lead to a mentorship.
Gina, one of the things that jumped off of the page about your event today, speaking of mentors and role models, is the Ruth Bader Ginsburg tank top. Tell us about that and again, how we can get people involved in your event today.
So the event's hosted by the Lakewood. It's a Paramount space and by Sweat Life Chicago. So people can get involved by going to asweatlife.com. The event is sold out, but I know somebody who can get you in. The tank top was designed by a local female artist, and it's really meant to depict, obviously, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a woman who showcases strength, power, and a focus on equality. And we recently saw an article from Politico that showcased her workout and how she uses it to stay in the game and to stay on the bench longer, which I found so poignant and our partners at Luna found so poignant. So we wanted to highlight that workout with our partner Emily Hutchins from On Your Mark to bring women together around highlighting someone who is smart, who is accomplished, and who does a lot of things that we don't normally see in role models in the media. She's not a model. She's an intelligent, accomplished woman, and I love that.
Gina Anderson-Cohen, the founder of a Sweat Life fitness site here in Chicago. You can get more information at asweatlife.com. Gina, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
Thanks so much, Steve.
It is Equal Pay Day, April 4th.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:53 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street, off about 35 points. NASDAQ futures down about 13. S&P futures off about 5. Well, crude oil recovering this morning at up almost a half a percent now, 50.48. Gold and silver also trading a little bit higher this morning. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. At a time of public skepticism about globalization, a dozen CEOs from foreign-based companies with big U.S. operations are ready to meet with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, and congressional leaders to talk up the benefits of foreign investment. Executives from Airbus Americas, Panasonic Corporation of North America, Samsung America, and other firms will make the case for policies they say will keep foreign firms coming to America. Verizon Communications will create a new company called Oath after it completes its $4.5 billion acquisition of Yahoo and melds the troubled internet company with its AOL operations. Oath will oversee Yahoo and AOL. After the deal is completed, the Yahoo and AOL brands are expected to survive, although Verizon says it won't provide any details about its plan for Oath until this summer. After his press secretary blasted it as an example of rampant government overreach, President Trump has signed a bill into law that could eventually allow internet providers to sell information about their customers' browsing habits. The bill scraps a Federal Communications Commission online privacy regulation issued in October to give consumers more control over how companies like Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon share that information. Critics have argued the rule will stifle innovation, pick winners and losers among internet companies. The regulation was scheduled to take effect later this year. Congress used its authority under an obscure Congressional Review Act to wipe it off of the books. Most of those big companies, by the way, have said that they will not sell those browser records, your browser records. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. The Commerce Department set to release international trade figures for February. The U.S. trade deficit jumped in January to its highest level in nearly 5 years as a flood of mobile phones and other consumer products widened America's trade gap with China. The result underscores the challenge facing President Trump in fulfilling a campaign promise to reduce America's trade deficit. The deficit in January rose 9.6% to $48.5 billion. U.S. exports edged up just slightly. Commerce Department also will announce its report on factory orders for February. A couple of other stories that could move the markets today or could be of interest. NASA is holding a news conference in Pasadena to preview the beginning of its Cassini final mission. Cassini has been orbiting Saturn since June of 2004, studying the planet, its rings, and its moons. A final close flyby of Saturn's moon will happen on April 22nd. Nominees for the annual Webby Awards Club, the Oscars for the Internet, will be announced today. The Webby Awards are an international award honoring excellence on the Internet. Just some of the things on our calendar for today, April 4th, 2017.